Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Bowers into the gap in right center. That could score everybody. It hits off the wall. One runs in. Two runs are in. Hoskins is held. The Brewers take the lead on the double by Bowers.
Now the batter, Kyle Tucker. He drills one deep right center field. Way back. Still going at the wall. Reynolds looks up. And this one's gone. Tie ball game. Kyle Tucker leaves the yard.
We are getting you ready for the Cubs and Brewers series that begins tonight in Milwaukee. And we go to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. That is where we find part of the Apple TV broadcast for tonight. I'm very happy to bring in Heidi Watney. Heidi, thank you so much for joining us on Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
What's up, Layla? How are you?
I know. It's so good to talk to you. It's always fun to chat anyway. Heidi and I used to work together at MLB Network, and to be able to do it in this role is a lot of fun, too. So thanks for joining us. It's great to hear from you.
Oh, it's great to be on, and it's great to hear you, too. I always love catching up with you when we're in Chicago. Unfortunately, we're here in Milwaukee, or I like Milwaukee.
good save.
No, I know why. It's because, frankly, I think I can say this. The games are always typically at night because they want to make it a primetime game. And so usually for us who have the night schedule, and Heidi, I feel like you've had the most night of night schedules given that you used to host, for example, Quick Pitch, which, you know, on the East Coast wrapped up at like 4 a.m. sometimes. So you want to like catch up after a game when you have a clear head, you're not thinking about work. And it is easier to do so here than it is in Milwaukee, right?
Well, yes. We got the day games and we can, you know, go have a nice glass of wine afterwards and catch up. But, you know, I just love coming out to Chicago in general. This is only my second. Excuse me.
It's all good. We can buy you some time while you're waiting. Heidi also is joining us on Twitch. You can check her out on twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score.
Heidi, how excited are you about this particular matchup, given that you've seen a lot of good matchups so far this season, but this is like the NL Central, the crux is that the Cubs are off to such a strong start, but the Brewers are like, we're division champs, and we're not giving that up anytime soon.
Yeah, the Brewers are year in, year out, have been really, really good, and you can't ever count them out. I mean, look at last year, all the injuries, all the adversity they dealt with, and they still won the Central crown. But the Cubs start this season. It is surprising. I know they did a lot to bolster their team, but it's still surprising how well they've come out of the starting gates and done. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the matchup tonight for sure.
I think this is, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. Memories of 2015 came to mind when we saw the Cubs in Pittsburgh just the previous series. And for us, I think it's the collective understanding that this is as good of a Cubs team as we've seen in years. Maybe it was the tail end, you know, the game 163 type of team in 2018. And that's when the Brewers really started to come on. But just understanding that this is a matchup of two teams at probably either at least the height of the Cubs' power since then or close when you consider the level of what we're going to see tonight.
Oh, for sure. The Cubs, you know, since they won it all in 2016, which was just amazing, haven't been the same. And this is, I think, the best team that we have seen from the Cubbies really since, you know, the departure of all those great players that won the World Series in Chicago. You know, their offense is just unstoppable right now. Kyle Tucker obviously was a big addition, but the entire outfield, the leaps and strides that PCA has taken in center field, Ian Happ, I mean, we're looking at one of, you know, perhaps the best outfields we've seen in quite some time out there for the Cubs. And, you know, starting pitching has held in there with despite injuries, which is great for them. I'm interested to see Ben Brown and Quinn Priester tonight, two pitchers I haven't seen a lot of, but you know, we'll see what they can give us tonight. And I expect it to be a fast-paced game, a lot of offense, and a lot of stolen bases from these two teams.
That sounds pretty accurate. I'm curious. We're about a fifth of the way officially into this season. I'm just curious as to what your assessment is of this Brewers team compared to what you've seen in years past. We talked with one of the Brewers analysts about Willie Adames no longer being with the team, obviously. He chose the bag, which a lot of players do when they play small market ball for so long. He finally got paid. What are you seeing about this team compared to teams in the past in Milwaukee?
Well, Willie Adames was a huge part of that team, not just from his production at shortstop, a premium position, but from his leadership in the clubhouse. And by all accounts, he's taken that to the Giants and is one of the reasons the Giants are off to a hot start out there in the West, where it seems like everyone but the poor Rockies are really doing well. So that's a huge loss and huge to overcome. The Brewers have had trouble at third base, kind of similar to the Cubs and, you know, the whole left side of the infield, really. The talent in terms of their position player group isn't quite as good, but they do still have some great players. You've got Bryce Terang, you know, leading off, who's just been fantastic. Churio is just one of the most dynamic players in the game. So you do have some good youth to build upon. I don't think that the first month of the season has been their best in terms of their defense. I think they're a better defensive team than they've been. And, you know, you can't count out their pitching. Their pitching always seems to come through. So, you know, it's one of those things that you just don't ever count that team out because they're always going to be there, right? The Braves off to a terrible start this season. But, like, in the back of your mind, they're still there. Even Bryce Harper said, like, well, the Braves, but they're, like, always end up being there somehow. So, Not as much in terms of, I think, a talent group as we've seen in the past, but they do have a lot of young players with talent, and I'm interested to see how they grow this year.
Well, Heidi, we were talking about it just in the last segment, and then also with Vinny Rotino, who's the Brewers TV analyst, is these are two managers who make the most with the least. That's how it's discussed. And when I say the least, I mean more so payroll than it is talent evaluation, because these guys end up getting on big stages, right? Like Devin Williams is a good example of that in Milwaukee. But how they've both been able to manage their teams in a way where we talk about September and October so much with Craig Counsell and even now with Pat Murphy, but really a lot of the work gets done and how they develop at this time of the year. You know, what are your observations when it comes to just the general managerial chops out of these two guys?
Well, Craig Counsell, you really can't argue with how successful he's been as a manager. And I give that 1 year grace period for him coming up to Chicago because there's a lot of change, right? He'd been with the Brewers, I mean, since he was a kid with his dad working in the Brewers organization. So you're seeing now the fruits of the labor that came from the groundwork that was laid last year with Counsell and the Cubbies. And I think with Pat Murphy, he just seems to me to be a college guy through and through, like pounding fundamentals. He's not afraid to get on guys. He's not afraid to yank guys middle of the game. I mean, he is a tough, hard-nosed manager. And so I think if anyone can get a young group of players, you know, going in the right direction, I think he might be a good guy to do it. But it's an interesting concept, you say, you know, with these teams like the Brewers finding these diamond in the roughs, because I talked to David Stearns just a couple weeks ago about it. And I said, you know, what's been the biggest surprise for you in New York? And he said to me that the biggest surprise is that his process of evaluating players and evaluating talent is still there. And he identifies these players that are maybe these diamonds in a rough that, you know, haven't quite come into their own, that haven't made the big splash yet. But convincing them to come to New York is actually harder than convincing them to come to Milwaukee, because they feel like they're going to get the playing time in Milwaukee. They're going to get a chance to showcase their skills in Milwaukee. And in New York, if they go there and they have a good year, there's still that high price free agent lurking out there that, like, okay, you know, I had a good year in right field, but Kyle Tucker's a free agent. They're going to go throw, you know, $600 million at him and get him to come over to New York. So it was an interesting concept to me that, you know, he's having to kind of change his philosophy of how he operates, still identifying the talent there, but it takes a little more to get him to come to New York than it would necessarily to come to Milwaukee.
Well, that is really compelling, because when you think about that whole Brewers system, David Stearns was a big part of it. It wasn't just Craig Counsell. Stearns and Counsell working in concert. And then how he's got to adjust, knowing that it is a different ballgame for them out there. I think that's a big part of it. Maybe we're not even looking at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. And you see it from teams like, how are the Rays always able to identify these guys that no one else does? And it's, you know, they've got to have that process in place, right? You've got to have the guys in the front office, the scouts, the you know, working in tandem with analytics. I mean, I think that the best teams have a good balance of both. You've got to have someone who has eyeballs, who can see the skill set and the talent and all that. It's not just crunching numbers on a computer. But once you've identified those players, it's convincing them to come, right? That's the second part of that equation there.
Yeah, Heidi, I hate that you mentioned the I know our listeners hate that you mentioned the Kyle Tucker example specifically with the $600 million, because we're wondering how much money the Cubs are willing to shell out to keep Kyle Tucker. The dynamic is changing, right? Where players are getting invested in such a way in specific markets where, as you said, they feel like only certain places can afford certain players. We're hoping that Chicago becomes one of those destination-type cities. Is there anything that you're seeing when we talk about free agency at large, it says there's going to be more opportunities in different places for some of these big contracts that have become less and less commonplace?
Well, look, you're still seeing them, obviously, with Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani, but these guys are, they're different. They're unicorns. They're franchise cornerstones that you're building your team around. And Kyle Tucker is an incredibly talented player, and seeking a contract similar to the terms of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. from all reports. Can the Cubs afford $500 million? I mean, I don't know. I haven't taken a detailed look at their books, but I think that, you know, the excitement that he's brought to the North Side so far this season, and his dynamic skill set, his age, his just the way his career arc has gone, I think he's worth it. So I would love to see Chicago shake that up. It's an interesting you know, move that the trade that they made for 1 year for him, it has me believing that they think there's something there, that they can get a contract extension done. So whether he hits free agency or not, his comments haven't been, you know, great in terms of, like, locking something up before hitting free agency. Like, good for him. Some of us do it differently. But it'll be interesting to see. I think he's going to get close to $500 million, if not more. So can the Cubs afford that? It's just whether they're willing to spend it or not. I think they can afford it.
Yeah, Heidi, I actually am glad you said 600, because that was the estimation that Jim Bowden had only a couple of months ago, I think. And at the time I was going, that's wild. But then the more you hear people talk, and I think Vlad Guerrero does kind of clarify that a little bit, seeing what he ended up signing with Toronto, I don't think that that's outrageous.
Yeah, Vladdy is a couple years younger, 2 years younger than Kyle, but a longer-term deal. And, you know, it was well known that he wanted to stay in Toronto. I mean, that's the team he came up with. That's the team he was running around in diapers with when his dad played. I mean, he was born in Canada. So it's a little bit different situation there in terms of, like, quote-unquote team-friendly contract, although I don't think $500 million is that team-friendly. seems quite player-friendly to me. But it's just interesting to see how's the market going to develop. I mean, he's obviously going to be the best player on the market. Should he hit free agency? It sounds like he wants to. But I've also seen comments like he and Dansby Swanson share an agent. Dansby loves it here. I mean, you see those kinds of things happening in a clubhouse where guys talk and they get to know each other, and this is a great place to live. And, you know, so I'm interested to excuse me. Sorry, I'm fighting off this cold that I've just been dealing with because it's the season.
You travel a lot.
Yeah, you're indoors tonight. That's the good news. It'll be cold, but you'll be indoors.
And you got kiddos, which always makes it a little tricky too, I know.
Yeah.
Traveling and kids seems like a combination where that might happen every now and then.
Right. The cough tends to linger a little bit longer than most. No, I'm interested to talk to Kyle Tucker this afternoon because he's such a great guy and such a dynamic player, and just get his thoughts. I've talked to some in the business that think, you know, he really does want to hit free agency. And 1 year with a team is not a lot, but we saw it with Mookie Betts, right? Traded from the Red Sox to the Dodgers, signed a massive extension before he even played with the Dodgers. So it happens. And if the club can convince him, that'd be great for Chicago, because it's certainly been great for them in the first month of this season.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are stung a little bit because you mentioned the bets, which is like the rare exception, but it happened because it's the Dodgers and they'll give you money. Like it's not a debate of, oh, we've never paid anyone $200 million before. They'll give you the money on the same page. Like Bryce Harper signs like a $13 million, $330 million deal, says, oh, the Cubs were my first choice, and the Cubs weren't with that. You kind of have to see where the market's going. Now, the market wasn't in this $500 million territory back then, but you wonder if the bubble will burst ahead of a potential work stoppage in a couple of years too. There's a lot of factors at play, right?
Well, that's the thing. There's so much turmoil in the sport right now with the RSN stuff and rights and where's the money going and who's coming and going. And then the potential work stoppage, which everyone thinks is going to happen again. So there's a lot of factors up in the air right now in terms of like committing to long term deals. Right. So that's like an underlying current of the business of baseball. But that had to hurt when they heard Bryce Harper say, because he's got his contract, great for him and great for the Phillies. It's worked out for both, but it has worked out really well for the Phillies and the success that he's brought there and the players that he's helped bring in, right? I mean, Trey Turner said it. Like, Bryce Harper's calling me and saying, let's get the gang back together. Kyle Schwarber has said it. So he's helped bring talent there. JT Realmuto, I mean, Harper was out there, like, his marketing manager saying, we need to re-sign this guy and bring him back. So the core of that team, Harper's had a huge influence on. So, yeah, I'm sure fans on the north side aren't too happy to hear him say that Chicago was his first choice and they didn't get it done. But that was definitely a period of transition for the Cubs. And so, you know, we have to look a little deeper at, like, what was going on with the club. Now, I think, is a period of like, rebuilding for the Cubs. Not rebuilding because they're there, but, like, building on what they have, as opposed to they had just won the World Series. They had all these expiring contracts. Who were they going to keep? Who was going to go? What was going to happen? So I'd be interested to see what their, you know, what Jed Hoyer's 5-year plan is, 10-year plan is with this club. They certainly seem all in right now. Whether they can lock up Kyle Tucker remains to be seen. I wouldn't be holding my breath if I was a Cubs fan, though.
No, I agree with that, unfortunately, Heidi. And then also, we're a month in. You know, we just saw the Cubs play an absolute gauntlet of a schedule when it came to facing the NL West. Who has impressed you so far just in your travels with the crew with Apple TV, or who stuck out to you as a team that has really been impressive?
Gosh, the entire NL West has been surprisingly impressive. Outside of, again, the Rockies. Apologies, Colorado. That's tough. You got a tough one there. The Giants have surprised a lot of people. I will say, though, I think the Cubs are the biggest surprise for me. Because you saw them get Kyle Tucker, but then you wondered what else was going to happen. What else were they going to do? And they've been able to, I mean, outside of third base, I mean, they're getting like premium play at every position. And, you know, Justin Steele goes down and they just keep on trucking. Their bullpen could use a little bit of help, but you can't argue with, they've played the toughest schedule in MLB so far, and they have come out on top. And now, from May 1st forward, they have the easiest remaining strength of schedule, whatever that means. You still have to play the games, right? But they made it through this first month of the season, which could have been a, you know, sink month for them with the schedule that they had, and they're sitting pretty. Who else? I mean, the Mets, but the Mets not surprising anyone. They're good. The Yankees, everyone knew they were going to be good. The Mariners have been surprisingly good this season. Their offense has really taken off. I think Edgar Martinez joining that hitting coach staff last year, he's made huge strides with a lot of their hitters. So I'm interested to see if they, and they're going to be getting some of their, I mean, they phenomenal starting pitching, and they're getting a couple guys back by the end of May. So they're going to get even better. Yeah.
Heidi Watney, we appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to yours and Wayne Randazzo's Score Guys broadcast on Apple TV tonight.
Thanks, Heidi.
Happy birthday to Wayne, the Chicago native, Cubbies fan through and through. Don't tell the Brewers fans tonight, but happy birthday to Wayne.
Oh, thank you for mentioning. Yeah, happy birthday to the Dazzler. You can bring that nickname back to him if you want to. Thanks, Heidi. Good to see you at least on screen anyway. Hope to see you soon.
All right, thanks. Take care, guys.
That was Heidi Watney joining us on Twitch and the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. We got to shift gears a little bit and get back to football, because if you missed Lomas Brown's appearance on the afternoon show yesterday.
He was talking that talk.
He is football joy.
Yeah.
But he also let us know what training camp might look like.
Not necessarily as joyous as Lomas Brown's talk. They're going to be about their business.
Absolutely. He even brought up Slappy Mama seasoning. So if that lets you have any indication of what's next on the score, get ready.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You're listening to Raheem and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I do have a message here for the players. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. The bar has been set higher than it's ever been set before.
Not that. Not that jam.
I love this
song. Oh, that's not...
Why?
It's not a positive song. Have you listened to the lyrics?
Not well enough.
Yeah, the hook. The hook, man. You know?
Okay.
Five bank accounts.
Where do we begin with this? First of all, Lomas Brown is just...
He's a truth teller.
He's just a football character. Like, a just necessary to the tapestry of football discussion, correct?
I believe you are correct in that statement there, but also the depth of knowledge he can give you in an entertaining way is what makes him fun.
Now famous because of his analysis of Detroit Lions football, but also because anybody who's familiar with the Lions in that way and the understanding of it, especially as a former player, and especially when you consider how many years he had in the league at such a high level, they're going to give you a really good insight and prediction and understanding when it comes to what we want to see. And he was on with the afternoon show yesterday. That was Spiegel and Holmes. And he is football joy. There is no doubt about that. I could listen to him talk about it all day. But he really gave us, I think, some insight. And he said it. When he said, just wait until training camp, my ears perked up. Trying to figure out, when we talk about the culture change here, what that can actually look like.
Y'all going out to training camp, wait till you see training camp. It's going to be a whole, it's going to be totally different. That's the first thing that you guys are going to notice, how he is, how intense training camp is, the enthusiasm around it. Watch the assistant coaches. Watch how they are. That's so you're going to all the, I'm telling you, that's the first thing you guys are going to notice. Watch the assistant coaches. Watch the enthusiasm. Watch the trash talking. Watch how they get up in there, like, because I'm quite sure y'all going to watch how they interact with the players. I'm telling you, it's going to be something different, that if you've been out there, it's going to be something different to see, something different to witness. And then that's when you're going to get that feel of how you think that the 2025 Chicago Bears team is going to be all about. Enthusiasm, fighting for each other, that grit that we call it here in Detroit. Yeah, you'll see it. You'll see it when you're out there. You'll see it.
I love that he then brought up the grit.
Listen, man, Lomas was trying to tell everybody.
He was
trying to tell anybody who would listen, this is what's going to happen. Training camp is a place you want to be if you really want to know what's really good. Because once the pads come on, that's when you're going to find out what Ben Johnson and his team of assistants is really all about. I'm so curious to see those interactions with two position groups specifically. The offensive line and really the receiver room. Antoine Renderell, that's what I want, and to see how he interacts with all those people, receivers, but then also on that offensive line, because that's the area of concern that I have going in, is like, first of all, can you score a lot of points? That starts up front.
Absolutely, and when you consider what we heard about Ozzie Trapillo from Ryan Poles yesterday, that left tackle is going to be where he might end up, and that means going from right to left and the adjustment there from college to the NFL, that Ben Johnson wants competition, that's a big piece of it. When I hear that too from Lomas Brown, I do go back to something else Ryan Poles said that was brought up months ago when Poles was talking about things that got away from them in training camp and how perhaps it wasn't addressed in the way it should have been. And that's on you as the GM and the head coach to make sure that doesn't happen this year.
It was on them the last time it happened, not this specific head coach, but GM/head coach is supposed to make sure that when you get out to training camp, nothing goes off the rails. That's when you can correct things the easiest.
And we still don't even know to what extent he was talking, whether it was maybe X's and O's, you know, executions of plays. Was it discipline? Was it people not picking up nomenclature or something like that? We heard a lot about cadence. The Bears said it was fixed. I don't know that it necessarily was. I think we've got a lot of proof there in the exchanges between quarterback and center on the games to show that. So when he says that, and Lomas Brown then says, just wait until training camp, are we going to see some frustrated Bears out there? Are we going to see some guys who, get mad to stay mad or get ready to stay ready, that type of thing, where you're going to have to break some eggs to make that omelet and adjust and be a little uncomfortable and then understand that that's going to make you better?
Ben Johnson told you, get comfortable being uncomfortable, first of all. And to the question about whether the players are going to receive that in a good manner, who cares? You haven't been good enough, the players who were on the Bears last year anyway, because I can look at the record and see what they were able to do. You need to be able to take criticism, coaching, instruction, all of that. Like the Tyreek Stevensons of the world should be happy they have a clean slate with a new coaching staff and be yes, sir, no, sir, and that should be the attitude.
I mean, if he does have a clean slate, we don't necessarily know.
Why wouldn't he have a clean slate?
I don't know. What happened last season?
Well, but a new coaching staff, that they haven't coached him yet. So I would hope that he'd be given, I don't even want to say the benefit of the doubt, because obviously Ryan Poles exists and he is the continuance of.
Yeah, he brought him here.
Yeah. So he doesn't want to see him fail, because that would be another in that stack of people who did not match the expectations of what Ryan Poles did on draft day. I think Ben Johnson and Antoine Rendell Rochard, really all of these guys.
Dan Rochard.
Yeah, Dan Rochard. All of these guys, they need to be able to talk to these players effectively and without any kind of rolling of the eyes or anything like that. Not that I'm even envisioning that, but I just know how last year went. And that's kind of got a spot in my brain and was like, we can't have any more of that.
You know when people listen and you know when they actually have ought to, as I like to say.
Wait, what's the word?
Ought to.
What's like, ought to?
Ought to is like, you really want to do this? Like, there's ought to there.
Oh, you okay. I haven't heard that, but is that a Texas thing?
Probably. I don't, it's just, okay. It's another way of saying effort.
Okay.
I also want to know what happens, of course, with Caleb Williams. When we discuss this fragility of the training camp set up last year and how it may have hurt the Bears all season, does that indicate quarterback? Here's what Lomas had to say to Spiegel and Holmes yesterday.
It's going to be how he handles it. He's going to have to handle it. There's still going to be some ups and downs throughout the season, as we all know. Even if you're a veteran, you're going to have ups and downs. But he's going to have to handle the hard coaching, and he's going to have to be able to soak it in and know that it's just coaching. He's just being coached. It's just a different way of being coached. And that's what he's just going to have to handle. To me, he has the talent. He has all the talent in the world, you know, and he just has to get confidence in his offensive line. That was one of the biggest things I noticed last year. He wasn't confident in his offensive line, because the minute he goes back and drops on his back foot, his feet were moving. His feet were hardly ever set. And anytime you got a quarterback where his feet is always moving back there in the pocket like that, a lot of times he's not confident in his offensive line and his protection in front of him. So I think what you guys add, Jonah Jackson and the other guy, I think that's going to go a long ways towards helping them, because y'all did a nice job in the middle of that offensive line shoring it up. And we know that's where quarterbacks don't like pressure coming from.
I love that he named the guy that used to play for the Lions. He's like the other guy. I don't know which other guy it is. Is it Drew Dahlman?
Oh, I thought he was talking about Joe Tooney.
Is it Tooney or Dahlman? Because he said the other guy. So.
Yeah, I thought he meant Tooney.
Okay. I listen, Lomas is speaking the truth. I don't want to see happy feet Caleb Williams back there. I want a guy who looks confident, composed when he drops back.
And Caleb had the audacity to call us stupid when it came to the offensive line assessment.
He was protecting his guys. I get it.
He was. I understand. But this all went hand in hand to me. There's a lot of
stupid.
There's a lot of equal blame to go around. I didn't think I was going to get it that accurate.
I like it.
With the timing.
I like how you remembered it. Because that's exactly what he said. And I was like, all right, bro, we get it. You covering for your people.
Also, you can cuss Caleb. It's okay. Jalen Johnson does it. We all just giggle and bleep it.
A lot of bleeping going on with Jalen Johnson. My goodness.
That dump button gets worked over here.
Yo, listen, the last time we heard from Jalen Johnson was like, yo.
It was the beginning of OTAs, and he was on one.
He was like, is this
better
going
than
to be
midseason for him, man? He was global level.
It's like they had built up, and he was just waiting.
The dissemination of his sound to public, he was not concerned about that.
There's also something extra funny about him, because he smiles when he does it, which makes it like there are some people who are funnier when they cuss while they're talking because they smile, like, and the mood, like the facial mood never changes. And that makes me laugh even more. Does that make sense?
Yes, because there's some people who know how to cuss.
Right.
You know, they weave it in effortlessly because they've been cussing a long time and they grew up around parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles who stay cussing. And so cussing is a way of life.
Stay cussing. Well, you and I both know what word is like a tempo tool. Backwards, you could say ish. So like that's like a tempo tool for some people when they're thinking out loud and they're just better at it than others. Like does that make sense?
This mother duck over here. Listen.
Yeah. So I know he's not supposed to, and I know it's an FCC issue or whatever, potentially, but I enjoy it. It just lets you, like, you're never going to say Jalen Johnson doesn't play with an edge. You know, like, you see the edge every now and then. It pops out.
You're also never going to say Jalen Johnson has the muzzle or the filter on either. He's going to tell you what he thinks in so many words.
What it is.
And he really is thoughtful. Like, he'll repeat the question. We hear it on these airwaves all the time on the afternoon show. He'll also repeat the question back and really think on it.
Yeah, see, I don't mind that either because I think he's trying to figure it out. Like that, nobody said you had to be Slick Rick talker. Before, I need you to be authentic talker.
That's all before lacing the tirade, of course, with all of the words that you are not allowed to say according to the FCC.
My favorite will always be, always, the reaction to the top 100 players. There will never be anything funnier than that. And the fact that Hard Knocks didn't actually show that clip and you're on HBO and you didn't get to show him actually saying the words...
Editorial control's a thing.
And like I said, I played it with all the bleeps in it on network TV, and it was fine and hilarious.
But you're not the McCaskies.
No, I am not. I'm not worth anywhere near that amount of money. I'm a hundredaire. I'm a dollar menu-naire.
The dollar menu, don't you miss it?
I do miss it.
There ain't no way. I don't know how you make Pro Bowl, All Pro, and you're not a top 100 guy. That's, I mean, I could have been 101, I guess, but Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
When you begin it cussing, that's how you know it's good.
That's how I'm feeling.
When the first word is a swear word, that is the best. I don't know why that cracks me up so much. Also, what cracked me up was Lovis Brown bringing up a favorite seasoning of mine that I've brought up on this midday show, Slap Your Mama.
Ben Johnson said at his introductory press conference, I kind of like beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. He said that at a presser. The other day, Matt LaFleur said, they got a good coach now in Chicago, just ask him. So he like took a little shot back. And
I like it.
Don't you like it?
Man.
We love it.
Ben has added a little, I don't know if you guys into the seasoning, but that slap your mama, you know, that seasoning. Hey, Ben don't add a little slap your mama right back here in Detroit. Ben don't say a few things that don't add a little spice back here in the Motor City.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Spicy.
And also, sometimes we take requests. So there's a quote request here from 219. Play the Lomas Brown part when asked what Antoine Randall L. would do if Burden acts up. It's great.
There's a couple of instances, especially when we went Antoine, when Jameson did something boneheaded on the field. Oh, my goodness. I remember one episode where I forgot who we were playing this year. But Jameson did something bad on the field, and he was going back and forth with Randall L. And then you just see Randall L. point his finger at him, and you knew it was over with right then. Like, Randall L. had enough of it and everything and stuff. So, yes, you'll see it. I'm telling you, man, when you just kind of feel it from the coaches. And they're going to all buy in. If Ben is anything, how Dan was here. Their whole coaching staff is going to buy in. Therefore, the coach is going to buy in. Therefore, the players, they're going to buy into it, too.
That's that you're out in public with your parents as a child, and you're about to act up, and they give you the look. And you know what that look means. That's the, if you don't stop right now, just wait till we get out of here. Not even all the way home, but no. Just out of here, out of public view.
To the car.
To the car. To the car. I remember one time, shoot.
See, my dad's going there.
Like, we're going to the bathroom. And whoop. Yeah, I didn't act no more after that.
Hilarious. But I do think Lomas is spot on, too, when it comes to the concept of your assistant coaches had better be on the same page as your head coach. Because otherwise, your players are not going to believe whatever you guys are trying to do.
Yeah, you can't. It's like mom and dad, and everybody's got to be on the same page as far as punishments and everything else. Everything, worldview, how we view how things get done around here.
Well, and also, who has confidence in who, right? If your assistant coaches don't have confidence in your head coach, why would you?
That's facts.
Like, that's business.
That's a hard life.
I don't care about same page and discipline and all that. We're all adults. But when it comes to trying to get a game plan together against an actual opponent, you make sure that opponent isn't you. Lomas Brown's just inspiring us all. And apparently Anthony Edwards is inspiring us all to watch Matilda. I hear we have more on this?
Yes.
Amazing. All right, more Anthony Edwards movie takes next on The Score.
Laugh your mom.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You can do it, Bruce! Yeah, you can do it! Go, Bruce! Bruce, 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 Bruce,
Bruce. Why that is not part of an opening for Bruce Levine, I don't know. I don't even know that he needs to get it necessarily. I need to watch Matilda now because of Anthony Edwards.
How old is Anthony? This movie came out before he was even born, right?
I don't, 96. Ant Edwards is like 24,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 96. It's a classic. Matilda is a classic.
Anthony Edwards is so dang entertaining. So this all was birthed out of his victory lap that he took running around Crypto.com Arena after the Timberwolves made sure the Lakers had an early exit out of the playoffs. And he was asked about what his favorite movie was, and he genuinely said Matilda. Well, apparently people were trying to say that he didn't actually like Matilda because the internet. You can't believe anything, apparently. Not even Anthony Edwards trying to talk about his favorite movie.
Yeah, people are really like, yeah, right, you don't like Matilda. And then Taylor Rooks has receipts.
Right, but this is not a subtweet, by the way. Just because something happens doesn't mean that your thought about it is valid.
Fair.
Stop trying to make conspiracy theories where there aren't conspiracy theories. Like
that's
Anthony
never
Edwards
happen.
Making up Matilda love.
That's never going to happen. Welcome to 2025.
That was a subtweet that was very much not a subtweet. Let's listen to the receipt with Taylor Rooks and Anthony Edwards.
What's your favorite movie?
Matilda.
Matilda. You have to explain why your favorite movie is Matilda.
Because I feel like women are powerful. So Matilda, I mean, she was a very powerful little girl at such a young age. And I just like to see things like that. So when I first seen it, I was like, yeah, this is the best movie of all time.
Man.
That's a powerful answer, first of all. Also, that's an answer that'll get you a lot of play a lot of places.
His Anthony Edwards' whole vibe is enjoyable, right?
He's the most entertaining player in the NBA. Give me somebody more entertaining currently playing in the NBA right now.
That's it. Like I understand why he spoke about why he being the face of the league comes with a lot of ridiculousness and unnecessary black.
I think Wimby is going to be the face of the league, but Anthony's going to be a dude. It's almost like Barkley in the Jordan era. They played at the same time. It's not like people didn't know who Charles Barkley was and he wasn't one of the guys.
I'm sorry. Like, you're just an entertaining person with interesting thoughts and you think differently from other people, Anthony Edwards, and you can do amazing things on the court. And people believe you when you say what you say.
Yeah, because who is he lying for? Nobody.
He is who he is.
Yeah, he's out here giving it to you just very much authentic and raw.
Kind of like the way he can play, you know? I mean, that is raw talent. Like, what he can do is I shouldn't say raw like it's not refined, but
Ant-Man,
that when he unleashes that level, it's fun to watch. It's incredible.
Ant-Man, Superman, Spider-Man, Lakers in 5.
That's it. Like, everything is entertaining. Some people just have more entertainment factor. I'm afraid to tell you. Anthony Edwards is one of them. I'm not afraid. I think it's great.
I want to be on his level of entertaining. One day I'll be interesting like Anthony Edwards.
Welcome to Subtweet segment on The Score.
This is a good time to remind you that callers 6, 7, and 8 right now to The Score contest line. 312-540-0670. will win a pair of tickets to see Mullion Hall do their show live Friday, May 16th at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Be a part of a studio audience as it gets you set for the start of the Crosstown series with special guests and plenty of Cubs Sox chatter. Plus, popcorn will be provided by Nuts on Clark, and the rumor is going that David Haw himself will be popping popcorn, maybe in a tuxedo with an apron over it. These are just things that I've heard today.
What about a tuxedo t-shirt?
You know what? That'd probably be more appropriate.
What about flag and anthem?
That's probably a thing that we can make happen as well.
What about Danks?
Well, that's a thing that has already happened.
Vinny Rotino brought up 83, okay? We were just, the train was headed there.
What about Danks?
All that's coming up Friday, May 16th. It's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through it all, again, the number 312-540-0670. That's caller 6, 7, and 8 right now on the Score contest line.
I think we got to find a formal event for Mully. He really sounded like he wanted a formal event.
But then he'd have to go get a tuxedo. That's the point. He's like, I don't think I want to, but should I have one? And I was like, yeah, you should have one.
Well, maybe if we find an event, then he can have an accurate decision as to whether or not he wants one.
A score formal. We should do that.
A score formal for many people just means wearing jeans as opposed to like sweatpants.
So I can't wear shorts? I mean, it would be hot by the time this thing came together.
We got to consult Gabe.
Ooh. Score prom? I didn't go to prom.
No.
I like score formal.
Prom has very
score
traumatic.
Prom sounds chaotic.
I have very traumatic injuries.
Injuries.
No. Memories. Memories from prom. Maybe there are mental injuries, but.
Seriously?
Let's unpack this.
I didn't go to my own prom, and then my mom made me go to prom with one of her coworkers' daughters whose date bailed on her, and it's just like, it was not a great time.
Your mom did what?
This is story time for another time. We're up against it.
What?
And I got to go to a doctor's appointment.
Okay.
Forget the clock.
I got to go to a doctor's appointment.
I'm like, I went to prom with my friends and had a great time.
We're putting a pin in this.
Prom with your guy friends rocks. All you do is like have fun and make jokes and dance.
It's just your way of avoiding.
So it's pretty much my entire life. No, I was actually dating somebody at the time. He's like, no, I get it. Go with your friends because he was in college and I was in high school.
Wow.
That's another story for another day too.
All right. She went up.
Game recognized game. I've been done with all this for a long time. All right. That said, Mark Rudy and Matt Spiegel are next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.